And secondly, there's this sense of overall purpose. And there's all sorts of dimensions to the overall purpose of our life. For the Buddhist tradition, the overall sense of purpose is the deathless, is the attainment of nirvana, of enlightenment, is the state of wisdom and loving kindness, the state of becoming a Buddha. That would be the overall sense of purpose for a Buddhist. There would be a commitment to that, to moving towards that, to developing the qualities that lead to that. That would be the kind of backdrop of your life, your overall orientation. But you've also got to have sort of a sense of purpose for goals, if you like, that are nearer at hand, nearer to you. Enlightenment in some ways is, I won't say it's far away, but it can seem a bit abstracted, a bit distant. You've got to bring it closer. And you've got to relate it to the actual situation you're in and the people you're with. Sometimes people can be so concerned with sort of ideas and ideals, you know, philosophical things, religious things, spiritual things. They are, they're making a complete mess of what's right in front of their face. And you've got to relate your overall sense of purpose, your overall direction in life, to what's happening right now in front of you. I'll give you a few examples of this, which can be useful in terms of the retreat perhaps. Entering the shrine room. When we go to the shrine room to meditate, that's why we're going there. You know, we're going there to calm the mind, develop mindfulness, and develop metta. If you're going to the shrine room and you're gabbing, you know, you're walking to the shrine room, talking, or rushing, or, you know, if you're just going on your own, but you're kind of spacing out, tripping over things, banging doors, it's kind of not related to what you're doing when you sit in meditation. There's a kind of real mismatch. So when you go into the shrine room, your purpose is to meditate. So it's a good idea to start tuning up to that and start becoming mindful of how you move into that space. You know, become silent. Slow down. You know, it moves smoothly. Move with full awareness of yourself and other people. Start turning your mind away from other concerns. You know, if you're getting, you know, you've got some resentful train of thought going on, well, it's not going to help you in the Metta-bhavana. So, you know, let's let that go. Leaving the shrine room. There you are. You've sat there in silence, looking at your breath, building up mindfulness, building up awareness, developing loving kindness. And then it's time to end the sit. So you open your eyes, you get up, and you leave the shrine room. And a lot of people leave the shrine room like this. They leave it like this. Amazing. They stamp out, and you think, you've got to think to yourself, if you haven't attained a higher state of consciousness and you're a bit distracted, what were they doing in their meditation? what was happening there? Tune up your mindfulness when you come out of your meditation. You might think nothing has happened. You might think, actually, nothing has happened in your meditation, but actually, probably something has. So it's a good idea to start, you know, start prolonging what you've gained in the meditation. Start, you know, taking that out into your daily life. And of course, you're also in a situation with other people who are carrying on with their meditation. So you need to be aware of them and the effect of your movement on them. So there's a very good example of how you can take your mindfulness out of your meditation by becoming more aware of just simply how you leave the room. And just thinking in terms, I'm going to take this out, I take the meditation out into daily life. There's a lovely image that, a couple of images that a famous Buddhist master named Shantideva uses for mindfulness, which I find, well, in a way, really attractive. It really gives you a good feel of how to move, particularly in a shrine room. But he's talking about life generally. He says, learn to move like a cat. You see a cat moving, that fantastic you know, way cats move. Well, he's saying move like that. You know, so it's really, really smooth and kind of unnoticeable, if you like. Or a thief. That's another example. You know, a thief is so careful. So, you know, think that when you leave the shrine room. Get into cat mode. Get into thief mode. I mean, you could even, it would be great, wouldn't it, to try the experiment of, you know, trying to go up to somebody in the shrine room without them noticing you. Don't try that. Well, maybe we ought to try it sometime to really sort of test our mindfulness and stillness and so on. I mean, and it would be a good room to do it because it's wooden floored. So you'd have to really work at it. So move. You can move. You can move quietly and silently. You can, you know, you can create that atmosphere where you don't make waves. Another area is serving and washing up. That's a wonderful, wonderful domain for the practice of mindfulness and awareness. Because in that situation, you're aware of things all around you. You don't drop cups and saucers and make a racket. Aware of the others in your team, your washing up team, aware of how they're getting on, cooperating with them. And aware of the next event in the program. Aware of what's coming up. Sometimes misunderstood, sometimes people think that mindfulness means being like really, 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 really slow. So you sort of see it sometimes in a washing up duty at Padmaloka. People have got this idea of mindfulness and you can see them doing the cups really slowly. And, you know, there's another event on the program. You know, there's a talk to be given or a puja to be done. Well, that means that they're unaware. They might be having a wonderful time going really slowly. But part of mindfulness is aware of the context in which it's all happening. And mindfulness does not preclude speed and efficiency. In fact, if you're tuned up with your mindfulness and awareness, you can be very, very efficient. You should be very efficient. So this mindfulness, it's like mind, awareness, even intelligence is actually pervading all our experience. That's what we're looking to generate in everything we do. And the effect of that, the effect of recollection, the effect of being aware of our overall sense of purpose and our near sense of purpose, is to gather the whole of our consciousness. The effect is to bring us all together. I mean, one of the things about that makes spiritual life very, very difficult is that we're dissipated. We don't have integrated, concentrated beings, if you like. We're dissipated, spread over so many different things. And one of the effects of mindfulness is to bring all our energies and all our attention together. So you have this very, very rich, broad, deep presence, this flow going on.